KSL, KSL at night.
Welcome back to KSL at Night. I'm Mara Carabello here with Greg Skordison. Greg, a big headline for the day reads, Justice Department sues Utah alleging Department of Corrections discriminates against transgender woman. This apparently comes after a letter was sent to the Department, Utah Department of Corrections, detailing some findings of an investigation they did specific to an inmate, a transgendered woman inmate in March. And it looks like they've filed a lawsuit today. I want to start with a question to you, as you serve as the dual legal analyst for KSL. Is it unusual for the Department of Justice to sue a state?
Oh, it's very unusual. And in this case, they had to, like you said, they have to start, or they normally do, with a letter saying, we think that your state's policies, or your procedures, I should say, are inconsistent with a particular rule of law. In this case, it's the Americans with Disabilities Act. You need to get yourself in line. You need to get your people together. They started with a letter. That was some months ago, and now they filed a lawsuit against the Department of Corrections and, interestingly, the Department of Health and Human Services for the fact that they felt that they were discriminating against a transgender woman on the basis of her gender dysphoria. And for listeners who may not understand, gender dysphoria is the term for a deep sense of unease and distress that may occur when your biological sense does not match your gender identity. That is a condition that should be treated and deserves to be treated. And they are feeling like the Department of Justice, that is, that the state of Utah wasn't treating that as an illness, as something that needed to be treated.
So speaking of standard legal protocol, more maybe than this case specifically, it seems like I would come into this assuming that the Department of Justice had had several conversations with the Corrections Department and had given several, I'm going to say, warnings. I mean, there's a quote in today's story from the executive director of the Utah Department of Corrections that sort of pushed back and said, we've taken steps on our own. The state has addressed the needs of this inmate while maintaining the highest safety standards. We fundamentally disagree with the DOJ on this key issue, and we're disappointed by the approach.
Sure.
But I also want to say, for me, I would say, no, this cannot. I doubt the letter in March was the first time that the Justice Department had reached out to the Department of Corrections.
Right. And that's what I said. I mean, there's no way that they would do that without something like this. In this particular case, like you said, the disability that the woman was suffering was this gender dysphoria. And they're claiming, the Department of Justice is claiming, that it took the Utah Department of Corrections 17 months from her initial request to provide hormonal therapy for them to actually do it. And what they're saying was that's a denial of equal protection. That's not the way you treat everyone else in the prison system. 17 months for treatment for a condition that is recognized as a disability. And you just can't do that.
And equal access to health care.
Correct.
I think it's also worth noting that inmates have the same ADA rights as non-inmates.
Right.
There is no distinction, right? So if you're an American citizen, and so I think that is part of what the Department of Justice is asserting, hey, the standard here is of an American citizen. It's not your status as an inmate or not an inmate.
Right. And interestingly, Mara, you point out this lawsuit, they're requesting several things. I was surprised at the first one, and I'll talk about all of them. They're requesting compensatory damages for the person. You don't usually think about the Department of Justice suing on behalf of an individual and requesting damages
for that individual.
Right. The rest of what they're asking for makes perfect sense in terms of their history. Modification of their policies and procedures. Change what you're doing to provide equal access to the Department of Corrections services, programs, and activities. Yes, that's the kind of thing the Department of Justice you would expect. And they're also requesting training. Those things seem to be in line with the type of lawsuit we're talking about here. But compensatory damages, I mean, that's something that somebody's going to have to measure at some point. And those are hard to quantify for something like this, but they could be substantial.
So what happens? How long is this process? What will be your expected response from Department of Corrections? And interesting, as you said, will there be a separate response from the Health and Human Services Department from the state of Utah?
We haven't heard from them, but you mentioned something, Mara, a minute ago. The Department of Corrections is pushing back, saying we've done everything. We're in compliance. You know, this isn't going anywhere. So right now, the two sides are pretty far apart. I think that what's going to happen is what we call discovery. They're going to go into the Department of Corrections policies and procedures. They're going to interview individuals. They're going to interview staff at the medical facility there. They're going to look at the particular charts of this individual and say, okay, at what point did she request this? At what point was she diagnosed with that? And at what point did the department go and do what it was supposed to have done, according to them, under their own policies and procedures? And did they follow those rules? I mean, that's going to be... The Department of Corrections are going to have their books and records looked at pretty closely by the Department of Justice to say, were you following the Americans with Disabilities Act?
And this list of remedies that the Department of Justice has presented, can they demand access? I mean, can it be rather demanding of the Department of Justice?
And I think a judge has got to allow that in the discovery process. They're going to get records and information and interview employees and take depositions. And like any other lawsuit, any other civil suit, they're going to open the doors.
We didn't want to lose track of the who part of this story. This inmates are people and certainly transgender women. And we wanted to make sure we were also speaking to the human side of the story, that there is a person involved in this. Although, again, as you said, interestingly enough, the Department of Justice is sort of acting independently and somewhat on behalf,
on her behalf, right.
Of her. And so in order to sort of insert also the issue of the transgendered woman, who is the point of this discussion, we have tonight, Sue Robbins, who's a transgender activist and advocate who's been with us before. Sue, thanks for joining us on KSL at Night.
Thank you for having me on.
So as you listen to this story unfold, what comes to mind as you have been fighting for trans women's rights and men over the years? What sort of goes through your mind when you read this story from the suit of the Department of Justice to Utah Department of Corrections?
First, I'm incredibly sad to hear that she's been treated this way. Even if we have mixed policies, we even see from the timeline that we see in the news that even once a psychologist said that she should get the medical treatment, it was still many months before treatment was even offered. Mm. This timeline is very concerning. But also, we've had quite a mix. I've worked with a couple of our jails on policy before. We have quite a mix on what all the policies are across all our incarceration system, all state. And so that is concerning too, that that is not centralized to a specific policy. We saw two laws passed this last legislative session, HB 257 passed and went into effect right at the governor's signature. So that was early February, that just said, we'll have to, if you were identified male at birth, then you have to be in the men's area unless you've had surgery and a birth certificate change. And if you're identified female, you're in the women's. And then we saw HB 316 pass, which then allows an accommodation. And I appreciate accommodation going in place. My concern that I hope the prison system will look at is timeliness. As soon as someone's identified as transgender, as they come into a prison or jail system, I would hope they would act immediately and expediently in ensuring the safety of the transgender individual, while I also recognize we want to make sure all people in the system are afforded safety, because the safety is important. So the law doesn't provide for any kind of timeline. It could take 2 years before a transgender person can make a request and then have their answer, which even could be a rejection. So I'm a little concerned that we need to go into the policy side and recognize this. And this particular lawsuit really demonstrates that we have issues with timeliness.
You said you were incredibly sad to hear this, and you've been looking at these policies and procedures from the various departments. Were you surprised that the Justice Department had to take this step?
I can't speak to the legal parts that you've been talking to about how they have, but I'm not surprised. The Fourth Circuit Court already ruled that gender dysphoria is an ADA accommodation, and the Supreme Court refused to hear a challenge to that. So that doesn't affect our district, but it shows a trend that we're starting on already. And every lawsuit we've seen in the federal court system related to transgender access to services has been ruled, the ones that I'm aware of, to the transgender individuals' side.
Right. Sue Robbins, transgender activist, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
So, Greg, we're going to pivot to one of the most impactful, interesting cases of Chad Daybell. I'm going to just point out to our listeners, Greg Skordis is one of the top legal analysts covering this issue. We're also going to be joined by a KSL TV reporter. So this is at the front edge, cutting edge. If you're interested in this case, you'll want to stay tuned. KSL at night.